This morning, as Bill read to us from Romans chapter 6, he talked about sin and its consequences. In the first verse of our text that we read earlier, Paul informed us that grace does not authorize sin. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law of grace? Certainly not. Many people have the mistaken idea that God's grace is going to overlook all of the infidelity of our lives. That we can continue to live as we want to live even after we become children of God. That we can continue with the sin that we live in or that we live and do from day to day, and God is going to say, well, my grace will cover that. Many religions teach that. But according to Paul here, this is not the case. Paul is very emphatic that the grace of God does not give us a free ticket to sin. And as I say, many religions try to give you that free ticket. They try to tell you that it's okay to live as you live, footloose and fancy free, and that God is going to take care of you. In fact, there is a local religious group here in our town who have recently changed their name. They have recently changed their doctrine and the direction of their teaching into a law of acceptance. I heard one of their advertisements the other day on TV, and it says, we want to reach out to those who have different beliefs, different religious lifestyles, different social habits, and different behavior. And by this, they're literally saying your doctrinal beliefs doesn't matter. Your social beliefs doesn't matter. Your moral beliefs doesn't matter. Can you believe that? This is coming from people who claim to follow the same God that you and I follow. That's claimed to be washed in the same blood of the Lamb that you and I are washed in. And now they're basically telling their people that you can choose how you live for God. And if you choose not to live for God, that's all right too. God doesn't care. We don't care. You know, people like this, I think, are spineless because they won't even stand up for what their doctrine teaches. You know, religious groups today, even if their doctrine is wrong, they'll at least stand up for what they teach. Groups like this have nothing to stand for because they don't believe in anything. They're looking for that free ticket. And they're telling you and I that you can have that free ticket. It doesn't matter what you do to get it. Nothing can take it from you. And they deliberately disobey God's word. Now I want to tell you this morning, my friends, God's grace is powerful. It is God's grace that is the root of our salvation. It was God's grace that brought us Jesus Christ. It was God's grace that sent Him to the cross. It was God's grace that raised Him from the dead. It was God's grace that gave the gospel to us that we could follow, that we could obey, and that we could live by. But we need to understand today, my friends, that it is God's grace plus obedience that gives us salvation. There has to be something done on our part to comply in order to get God's part. God's grace will do a lot of things, but God will not save you with His grace if you live outside of His law. We can go back to the text, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed. There's that word. There you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. What Paul is trying to tell us here is that when you obeyed that doctrine that God has planted for you, His grace will enact. His grace will go to work. His grace will save you only after that which you have done to comply to His will. So as great as God's grace is, it will not save you without obedience. and compliance to His will. You know, in our text today, Paul spoke about life and death. You know, the Bible talks a lot about life and death, doesn't it? From Genesis through Revelation. You know, here we find in Hebrews, for example, he talks about the physical death. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And again, the Hebrew writer is talking about a physical death that is going to be coming upon all of us who breathe the breath of life. Now, Paul talks about a spiritual death that we read of in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where he says the wages of sin is death. Now, the Hebrew writer, again, he's talking about death and then the judgment, a physical death. Paul is talking about judgment and then death, which is a spiritual death. Now, how do we know that? It's because of the very next thing that Paul says. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we find death being used in two different ways here, physically, as the Hebrew writer speaks of it, and spiritually, as Paul speaks of it. So we're looking at death in two different ways. Some of us, or some people on this earth, will die twice. Physical death and spiritual death. All of us in this room hope to only die once. The physical death. And we should never see the spiritual death because of the grace of God that we are under because we have complied with His will. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Everything that I've said, everything that the writer told us from the reading this morning. And while you're thinking about that, I want you to ask yourself this question. With all of this knowledge of the Scripture and all of the understanding that we have about it, who is to blame if I am lost? Every one of us in this room sits with this question in mind. If you don't make it, if you are turned away, who are you going to blame? Now, when you think about it, think about this. When something goes wrong in our lives, when something happens that we don't like, what's the first thing we want to do? We want to point fingers. We want to say it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. It's never my fault. When something goes wrong in life, we like to blame somebody else for it. I've done it, you've done it, we've all done it. But when you have to sit down and honestly evaluate things, and you know you can't really lie to yourself. When you try to lie to yourself, you really know the truth. Who can you blame if you're lost? I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, that if you're lost, you're not going to be alone. There are going to be others lost with you. And I want to tell you something else. That's not going to make you feel any better about it. Now, you know, there's no consolation in the thought of being lost, but other people are lost too. You know, and we've all played that game. You do something to me, I'll do something back to you. And when you do that, for a minute, you might feel good about yourself, but let me tell you, friends, your pain is still there. Your trouble is still there. Even though you've, quote, gotten back at them, it didn't help your situation any at all, did it? Not a bit. And I promise you that if you lose your soul and you see someone else in the same condition that you are because they've lost their soul too, it's not going to make you feel a bit better about it because you're both in the same boat. It's just like when you walk into a doctor's office and you walk into that waiting room and you have already been diagnosed with cancer. And you go over there and you sit down in that seat and you see a multitude of people that are sitting around you and they're in the same situation you're in. Is that going to make you feel better about it? Yeah, I have cancer, but they have cancer too. You feel better about that? Of course not. Because again, you're all in the same boat. That doesn't help your situation at all. You know, David tells us in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And if you're one of them, you're one of them. And your situation is not going to be better because someone else that you know are in that situation. You're not going to be alone. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man knew what he had done. He knew that he had done it to himself. He also knew that he had brothers on this side of eternity that were out there doing the very same thing that he had already done. And he did not want them to suffer the same fate. He was lost, and he didn't want his brothers to be lost. And he tried to correct that issue, and they wouldn't let him do it. Jesus mentions two groups of people in eternity. He mentions the many, and he mentions the few. Hell will receive the many. And those who are outside of Christ will be numbered among that number. Those who are outside of the Christ, even though they may be moral, even though they may be good-hearted, they're outside of Christ, and they're going to be in there with the wicked and the thieves and the murderers and all of that. Is that going to make them feel any better about it? Not at all. So those who lose their soul will not be alone, but you won't feel better about it. If I'm lost, I'm going to be lost forever. You know, that's a cold, hard fact that no one in this room really understands. When you was 21 years old, did you think about 41 years later being 62? I'm 62. When I was 21, I never thought about being 62. We don't think about things like that, do we? We think about things in increments of time, but we don't think that far ahead. When it comes to eternity, we can't think that far ahead. Eternity is a long time, friends. A long time. Jesus makes a statement in Matthew 25, verse 46, that should literally make us shake in our shoes if our lives are not right with God. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. You think about that. If you're sitting here this morning, your life is not right with God, this is the statement you need to think about. Because it's true. And in our finite minds, we can't understand and explain to ourselves the length of time involved in this. Now, it's been 41 years since I've been 21, and it seems like it's just gone by like that. Eternity is not going to go by just like that. In fact, it's not going to go by at all. We need to think about that. You know, no one wants to be condemned. Now, Jesus had an unusual way of explaining eternity in Mark chapter 9, verse 43 and 44. Now, and this is what he says. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Who's going to do that, right? For it is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Are we willing to make that kind of a sacrifice to be right with God? Remember the rich man, he was already condemned. He begged for mercy. He begged for one drop of water, and it was refused. Once you're cast into death, there is no escape. There is no way out. Eternal death is forever. And then, if I'm lost, I have no one to blame but myself. I can't blame God. Now, my screen's messing up, but yours isn't, so I'll keep on going. I can't blame God. What is he doing now? I'm sorry, my screen's going nuts on me up here. Give me just a second. There we go. I can't blame God because He gave His Son for me. We love these words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can't blame God simply because of the love that He has shown for us. And He showed us the ultimate love. And if we fall away from Him, it's not His fault. He gave us the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he said, in Him you have also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have that promise. You and I sitting here today have that promise. And if we flaunt it and it's gone, who are you going to blame? We can't blame Christ. He's the one that made it possible for our salvation. He's the one that went to the cross. As the Hebrew writer said, He tasted death for all of us. He was a little lower than the angels. He suffered death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. This is something you and I don't have to do. Are we going to let that go? He invites all of us to come to Him. You know, I don't think there are more beautiful words anywhere in the Scripture than Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. No, we can't blame Christ if we're lost, because look at what He has done to save us. We can't blame the Holy Spirit, because He gave us the Word that we have today in our hands, that we can read and we can study and we can understand and we can obey. It was given to us by Him through the writers of the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directed their hands, their thoughts, their minds to give us God's Word. We can't blame Him. Who are you going to blame? If I'm lost, I have no one to blame. Because if I'm lost, it's going to be because I refused or I failed to do the will of God. And God's will is expected to be carried out. Shall I continue in sin because of God's grace? No. God's grace won't cover your sin if you deliberately do it. God's grace won't cover your sin if you choose to continue in it and try to look like a Christian. God's grace isn't going to help you there. We need to know that. So this morning, my friends, if you are outside of Christ, you are lost simply because you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have no one to blame but yourself. And this morning, if you are a Christian and you've walked away from God and you expect to be in the graces of God, having walked away, it doesn't work that way. You must maintain your life in Christ for the grace of God to work. So this morning, my friends, if you need to obey God, do so today. If you need to come back to God, do so today. And let God's grace work for you like it is intended to work for you. But you have to do your part. And we invite you to do your part today while we stand and sing.